All right, folks, let's press on, shall we? Heart of a chart. Let's take a seat, everybody. Take a seat. Take a pew and open your Bibles to Matthew 18. That's where we're going to be to start with. We're going to move on to some other passages as we go through, particularly Psalms, we'll get to that in a bit. So, Heart of a Child, part two today. Let me give you the basics of what we're doing today in our second in our series called The Heart of a Child. The first one last week, we talked about humility from the example of who? Moses, okay, and his humility, the most humble man who ever lived. I'm sure some women are more humble than him, of course, but that goes without saying. It doesn't need to be stated. But here's a thought for you as we go into today's theme about awe and wonder. I read this recently. I really liked it. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Wow. I mean, you can live a long life with a lot of breaths, but if you have nothing in your life that ever takes your breath away, is that a life, really? At least the way God intended it to be. It's about the moments that take our breath away. And in so many ways, the Christian life, it's about those moments when God takes our breath away. That's what sustains us. It's what helps us to trust and believe in an awesome God. We're talking about awe and wonder today. So you may remember, just to go back to the beginning, that we are basing this whole series on Matthew 18. And in that passage, when the disciples say, "Who is the greatest?" hoping it's them, I'm sure, Jesus says, if you want to get into the kingdom, you have to change. They have to change. In other words, their attitude at that point, when they're asking who is the greatest, has to change. It's not the right attitude. You have to change and become like children. Otherwise, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever becomes humble, like this child, that's where we started last week about humility, like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So this is a very important issue, isn't it? I mean, you've got to be childlike in whatever way good Jesus means it if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's dependent. What does that mean? Well, last week we talked about humility. That's where it all begins. Jesus references it here, so that's why we started there. But there are some other aspects of what it means to be childlike that I think is underneath what Jesus is saying here. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to be exploring the concepts of timelessness. Children don't have a sense of time in the way that we do. Oh, it's 10 past 11. I hope we're done by 12 because I have to go home and do some stuff. That's not how kids, any of the kids in the back there, I guarantee that is not how they are thinking. They're thinking, can we stay here all day, please, and play with my friends? I mean, or something like that. But timelessness is an element of childlikeness. Playfulness is an element of childlikeness. Again, at the back, I'm sure they're having some fun playing. And a not knowing stance, which is that sort of curiosity, that why do we do this? Why do we do that? Why does that happen? That sort of why thing. So we'll explore those in the next 3 weeks. But today, what I want to focus on is awe and wonder. Part of childlikeness is being someone who is regularly caught, something causes us to be in awe of God, to be in wonder at God. I love this picture that Leon took a few years ago now at one of our services in Lawrence Haynes School. I forget which child this is. Is it one of yours, Eva and Tunde? Yeah, it's a few years ago now. So I've just, that's a look of, the open mouth, kind of, you know, isn't that a beautiful look? I mean, it's just, I love that look. Let me ask you the question then. So what is it that you think causes young children to be in awe and wonderment to think? Magic tricks. It's just like, whoa, how did that? Yeah. New experiences, things I haven't tried before. Okay. Fireworks. You don't have to be a young child to enjoy fireworks, but yes, absolutely. At the back, was it someone, Amy? Things beyond their understanding, yeah. Roller coasters. Some people love those. Encounters with nature, the beauty of nature. Yeah. Anything else, Lisa? okay, something suddenly clicks for them. They actually understand it. Oh, that's what it means, or that's how it works. Yeah, that's good. There's a lot of things, aren't there? And even if you don't know the answer to that, you know it when you see it in a child. You can see it. It's visible. So children are quite easily amazed. Young children. Not when they get a bit older, but when they're, you know, when they're really young, they're quite easily amazed. They don't have to understand everything before they can be impressed. My granddaughter, our granddaughter Talia, I don't know when, but when she was quite young, I would look at her and go, and she thought that was the coolest thing ever. And she would sort of wriggle her finger around in her lip. So I still do that. I think she can probably figure it out now, but just something as simple as was created awe and wonder in her. Oh, to have that kind of heart, right? There's something beautiful about this, something simple. Kids don't have to understand to be impressed. And that's something for an adult to bear in mind, that we tend to prioritize understanding over the experience sometimes. And that can hinder our walk with God, as we want to understand everything about him and what he's doing. That may get in the way of awe and wonder. Sometimes we lose that awe and wonder because we're busy, or we're trying to be self-sufficient, or we become analytical, maybe even cynical. We learn, sadly, to manage our lives rather than marvel at them. Each one of us is a marvel. May not look like it, I don't know, but we are. Management is not the goal of life. To marvel is more appropriate, I would say. So three things we're going to look at today that may help us to recapture our own sense of awe and wonder with God. The first is creation. You could probably guess this, the natural world, the space and time and everything else. In Psalm 8, David writes, he says, "When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him?" The grandeur, the beauty. Have you ever been out in a really, really dark place with the stars? You know, not around a city, you know, somewhere way out there in the countryside, some of us from other countries where there's not so much street lighting and city lighting. I mean, isn't there an incredible beauty to seeing the stars when it's really, really dark? And this is David, remember? David, the shepherd. The shepherd out there all night sometimes, under the stars, with no street lighting, no torch, no light on his mobile phone, his smartphone. I mean, nothing, right? It is dark. This is him seeing it and writing about it and being in awe of what God has made. Psalm 139, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." You could kind of make that two words, full of wonder, right? That's what it means. Wonderful, full of wonder. I know that full well. It's observing nature is one of the ways that keeps us humble. That's what happened to David, right? He looks at the stars and he says, "Who am I?" It helps him to be humble. And when we have that posture, it helps us to stay in awe and wonderment at God. The world is amazing. So, the world and universe, I should say. So, take a box like this, right? A cube like this. And I could quote all kinds of stats at you, and it wouldn't mean a lot. So, I'm only going to give you one, all right? One stat. If we were to stack boxes of these on top of each other between here and the moon, imagine, go with me, okay? Imagine. We could stack these from here to the moon. We would need over 1.2 trillion of them. I can't imagine a trillion. Perhaps Elon Musk can. Elon Musk can. Maybe he can. But I can't imagine a trillion, right? But over 1.2 trillion of these. But even those, 1.2 trillion of these will not fill the Grand Canyon. I mean, we're talking vastness beyond our comprehension. That's just in our solar system. Or that's just between us and the moon, let alone beyond. Our God is incredible. And this is not even hard for him. See, what happens when we get back in touch with the natural world is that we become more in awe of what God has made. The first nature films that were ever made were made by Disney, I discovered recently. I didn't know this. Back in the 50s, did a series for, I think, ABC in the States. And they were the biggest shows on television at the time. There were more people viewing them than watching sports or anything else. Because it was brand new at that time. We're used to all these nature documentaries now. Nature has an incredible capacity to help us to be in awe of God. 3 days ago, I was walking through the park in Castlebury Park in Watford. And I went down near the river and was about to cross a little footbridge. And I saw a kingfisher. I've seen it before, but it's very, very rare to see it. And it was sitting on a branch that was hanging over the river, right? And it was just there, and I caught a sight of it, and then it flashed up the river. You know, they fly up the river, right? And it just, this blue flash went up there. And an audible wow came out of my mouth. I went, wow. I mean, I didn't have to think about it. You with me? I didn't think, what should I say about that kingfisher? Oh, wow. I mean, it just came out. Because when we see something amazing, that's what happens. It's spontaneous. And the other thing that happened was, just as that happened, two people with a dog walked over the bridge. And I said to them, keep an eye open for the kingfisher. I've just seen it fly up the river. They were like, oh, which way did it go? I said, up there. They said, well, keep our eyes open. And I didn't think, should I tell them about it? You see what I'm trying to say here? It was just like, I've seen something amazing. I've got to tell somebody. I mean, this is a side point, but in terms of how we share our faith and talk about God with other people, it's because we're amazed at him. I mean, of course, sharing our faith becomes drudgery if we're not amazed at God anymore. But if we're amazed at God, it's like, hey, let me tell you about this amazing God. So that's a side point, but I think it's relevant, right? Awe and wonder helps us with all these things in our lives. You might like to, I say this cautiously, but maybe when you get home or tomorrow or something, you might like to go on YouTube and just search for kids being amazed at things. There are some brilliant shorts of kids just being amazed, mostly at animals and nature. I give that advice with caution, because once you go down that rabbit hole, you might still be there 3 hours later, of course. That's the problem. But if you want to know what awe looks like, have a look at that kind of thing. How do we get this back, this awe at what God has made? Part of it is just slowing down. I was in the park, you know, I saw the kingfisher. I wasn't doing something else. We got to slow down, I think. Recently, Penny and I had a holiday, September. Was that September we went away? And we went to a place called Brownsea Island, which is in Poole Harbour, you know. And it's an unusual place. It's a little island in the harbour there. And the reason is, Boy Scouts were started there with Baden Powell. And there's something else that's unusual there. You see almost nowhere else in the country. And that's red squirrels. It's an island. And so we thought, let's see if we can see red squirrels while we're there. And so in that tree is a red squirrel. So I was walking around. I was walking around in this, you know, on the island, and I was hoping to see a red squirrel. And suddenly, I saw this flash of, you know, auburn, really, you know, ginger sort of color. And I there was a bench. I'm sitting on a bench with. All right, is what's happening here. I'm sitting on a bench, and I can see the squirrel, and it's looking dead at me, and I'm looking dead at the squirrel. And we're still have a stare down contest, me and the squirrel. I took a photograph here, and then as I walked nearer, it disappeared, of course, because they're a bit flighty. But I have enlarged the picture for you. All right. So here's your red squirrel.
Little bat.
Staring at me. Right. And the thing is, I sat on that bench. Excuse me. I sat on that bench for ages staring at the squirrel. The time disappeared. I wasn't even conscious of time, because how often do you see a red squirrel? And it was staring at me, and I was staring at it, and I was just in the moment. There's something about when we, something awesome comes our way that we go out of time and outside of time in a way. This is what it means to be in awe of God, to have wonderment at God. So what you might want to do to recapture this is step outside one evening, look at the stars, pray through Psalm 8, maybe, like we looked at part of it earlier. Watch a nature documentary, and every now and again, when you see something amazing, pause the program and thank God for what you've just seen and tell him how amazing he is. Have a little time of worship whilst doing that kind of thing. I'm sure you can come up with your own ideas. So the first thing, the most important thing, I think, that helps us with our sense of awe and wonder with God is to engage with what he has made, the natural world. But the second is to deliberately worship him. There's something about worshiping God that helps us to be in awe of him and wonderment. That's one of the reasons we sing. We don't just sing to exercise our voices. We sing to connect our hearts back with God. There's something about the physical expression together of our love and honoring of God that helps us. So a couple of scriptures to reference here. Psalm 77, I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. You see the psalmist here reflecting on who God is, what God has done, remembering what God has already done, thinking about, meditating on his qualities. He is in a state of worship here. Of course, this is Israel, and Israel often forgot this. And we, as followers of Christ, can forget this. It's why we worship. It's to remind us of this. In Revelation, I love this scene. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes, are all around and inside, day and night, right? This is like 24/7. This is not a few minutes on a Sunday. Day and night, without ceasing, they sing. I mean, this is going on and on and on. They're not running out of reasons and desire and motivation to worship God. Without ceasing, they sing, holy, 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 the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, you are worthy, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. This is going on and on and on. These beings have been in God's presence for eternity, and they are still in awe of him. They say familiarity breeds contempt. There is some truth in that. But it doesn't have to be the case with God, with us and God. He can always still be amazing, awesome, wonderful. And it comes, a lot of that comes to us through worship. In his book, Rethinking Church, Ron Highfield said this about collective worship. We express awe at God's greatness, gratitude for his generosity, praise for his excellence, longing for his presence, and amazement at his love. Have you got a bit stuck in your times of worship with God? Maybe not just here, but on your own. Have you got a bit stale? Why not try something different? Try to ask other people in the congregation how they connect with God, with his awe and wonder, so to be in awe of him and a wonderment at him through their personal times of worship. Let's share ideas, because there's no one way to do this. I mean, prayer is vital. The Bible is vital. But how we engage with prayer and how we engage with his word and how we engage in this worship of God is very individual, very personal, I would say. And so let's talk to each other about this. Any song or any prayer can become routine, but it doesn't have to. The heart can be moved every time, or it can be rekindled when we remember who we're speaking to, the creator of the galaxies, the redeemer of our souls, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. That's when worship comes back to life. So when you take some time to worship God yourself this week, take some time to remember the wonders of God and some of these things that Ron Highfield talks about here. Recall what he has done. Perhaps go somewhere different to pray. This was my prayer place. 2 weeks ago, I had a personal retreat up in Shropshire. I mean, pretty good view from up in up on the hills there in Shropshire. Pretty amazing, pretty awesome. I mean, it caused wonder in me to be up there. It was amazing to pray up there. And praying up there in a different place helped me. It just rekindled something in me. Not that you have to go there, but it's just that it's different. And I went there specifically to recapture some of that awe and wonder. That's the kind of thing we need. Another thing you can do, is like I did on that occasion on that hill, is to sing through a song. But sing through it slowly. Stop. Pause. Think about the words. When I survey the wondrous cross I sang for myself up on the hill there, on which the Prince of Glory died, I just stopped and thought about death for a bit, how Jesus could die. My richest gain, I count but loss. Pouring contempt on all my pride. What does that look? God, help me. Help me pour contempt on my pride. Help me pour it. Pour contempt, not just like drip some contempt on my pride. I mean, pour it on, like big jugs of it. What is that going to look like? I mean, going through a song, thinking about the words, what do they actually mean, can be very helpful. I sang that on the Wednesday, and then on the Thursday, I sang the song, All to Jesus I Surrender. So I really wanted to recommit myself to God, to make sure I was kind of all in as a Christian, you know, and come back full of God, all to Jesus, all I surrender. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. And in his presence, daily live. And the chorus, it repeats. And sometimes repeats help to emphasize the point. I surrender all. I surrender all. Do I surrender all? Or to Jesus, I surrender all. I mean, sometimes we need to repeat to really let it sit deep between in us. So one thing that can help a sense of awe and wonder is creation. Another is just worshiping him, taking some time to do that. And thirdly and lastly, and very importantly, the third thing that can really help us with our worship, our sense of awe, is Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Jesus himself. In Matthew 14, we're not going to do the whole story here, but you'll probably remember the story of the disciples in the boat. And Jesus comes on the water to them, and what do they think? He's a ghost. They think he's a ghost. And he says, no, it's me. And before he gets to the boat, Peter says, if it's you, command me to come out on the water. Famous story, right? So Jesus says, come. Peter gets out. He goes, starts walking on the water. He comes to Jesus. Strong wind, gets frightened, begins to sink, cries out, help me, save me. Jesus reaches out, saves him, tells him, you have little faith, why did you doubt? They get into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him. You are the Son of God. Why do you think they worshipped him? I mean, he's not died, he's not raised. What do you think caused them to not just say, that was a nice trick, or how did you do that, Jesus? Oh, that's quite amazing. But they worshipped him. And that's quite something. So what do you think is going on there?
Walking water.
Okay. Walking on water, stopping the wind.
I hope I live on a site where all would learn that.
Right. They were, yeah.
That is a blue. Break that far.
Right.
Think they got in what worked. It is cake for.
Okay. I like that. That's a very interesting pen. In awe of him. Okay. Hacking?
Yes, thank you. I think it was a. Oh, God. But in the part of the thing about it, it's a what. Great, 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 great. Other players bow down. I think, great, done. It's less dangerous to be all good before it happened. I met him, he was. But did he pull this out? Did it fall down?
It's a natural thing for them to do, right? Because they've seen something they'd never seen before, couldn't even imagine seeing ever. And they're making a connection between what Jesus is doing and God, right? Because God is the one in charge of the nation, of the oceans. That's part of the thinking that's going on here. But anyway, Jesus is worthy of our worship. Worship is an expression of trust. We trust you to be who you say you are, and we trust. Dasha Keltner said in the book Awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your current understanding of the world. Jesus broke their understanding of the world. Something vast is going on here. Something beyond our current understanding is going on. So they worshipped him. It was appropriate. They were standing in the presence of Jesus. That's what we need to do, isn't it? To recapture a sense of awe and wonder at God is to stand in the presence of Jesus. If we want to deepen our faith and feed that sense of awe, then instead of trying to explain everything, remember in this situation, Jesus did not explain what he had done or why. Instead of trying to understand everything, maybe we need to prioritize adoring more than understanding. In prayer, spending less time telling God what he already knows, more time marveling at who he is. And if I may give a tip, I'd say this means reading the Gospels a lot. Staying close to Jesus. Read other parts of Scripture. We must do that. But don't go too far from the Gospels. Maybe also the book of Hebrews, which has a particular focus on Jesus. That will help us. So let's wrap up and we'll take the Lord's Supper together. So wrap up. Penny, I think, might have given me this from the Week magazine. I rather like it. If you can't read it, I'm going to read it for you. But I rather like it. This is a letter from someone called Mary Wakefield to The Spectator, which is reprinted. My friends and I increasingly find ourselves reminiscing about our pre-smartphone childhoods of a certain age here in the room. Like refugees remembering a country left long ago. We recall the endless waiting and the various means we used to pass the time. We examined paving stones. We peered into cracks and picked satisfying paint flakes from the walls. Not recommended. In the car, we misted the glass with our breath and raced the raindrops. We chewed paper, bit our forearms, not recommended, spent hours face down studying lawns. If you'd asked us back then, we would have said we were bored to death. But we lived in constant communion, not with a touch screen, but with the real world. And in retrospect, it was sort of wonderful. Isn't that great? It's really good. Thank you, Mary, if you're watching. Thank you, Mary. Now, there's nothing evil about smartphones. That's not the point. But the point is, how much are we in touch with the real world? So I'd encourage us to think about how we can get more in touch with the real world. Awe is a fundamental need for human flourishing and spiritual flourishing. Somebody said, awe doesn't make you naive, as some might think. It makes you alive. We need it to live spiritually. When Moses saw the burning bush, what did he do? He said, I must turn aside and see this sight. He noticed God was doing something. He needed to pay attention to it. And at that moment of wonder, God called him. Maybe God is calling you and me today still. But maybe sometimes we miss the wonders that would draw us to him, to attention to him. I'll give you this as something you can take a photograph of if you want, and I'll send it around on WhatsApp as some ideas. I got this from Dasha Keltner again from the book Awe, as eight pathways to awe. One is moral beauty, just seeing things that are morally beautiful. A second is collective effervescence. And you say to me, what is that? So that's like when a crowd sing together. It's like a football crowd actually chanting together. It's like singing at church. It's that kind of group experience, right? Nature, we talked about. Music, obviously. Visual design can give us that sense of awe. The spiritual and the religious is what we've been talking about all the time, because the book's not about that specifically. Life, birth, new life, and death can put us in touch with things that are awesome and wonderful. And epiphanies, sudden sparks of understanding or realization, or our eyes are opened to something. Someone mentioned that earlier about small children. 8 pathways to awe. Could you maybe invest in one of those this week to recapture a greater sense of awe and wonder? So my final advice would be, please don't rush through your prayers. Slow down a bit. Don't rush through your Bible reading. One verse read with a spirit of awe and wonder is better than 100 verses just rushed through. Slow down. Don't treat worship as routine. Take it seriously. Don't miss the beauty of what God has made. It's awesome. So stop and notice and wonder. Monday's coming, friends. On Monday, what will you do to live more in awe and wonder at our great God? In that way, you will embrace more of the heart of a child, and you will be more humble before God and more available to him and open to him so that he can do his work in you. One of the things that consistently creates awe and wonder in us is the cross. We are in awe of the fact that Christ went to the cross. So before we take bread and wine, it's appropriate that we pray and remember what he did for us.